Amen. Amen. I invite you to remain standing if you are able for the reading of the Lord's Word. I already alluded to the passage from Luke 8, somewhat famous story of Jesus healing of the Gadarene demoniac or the Gerasene demoniac. You remember they were going across the lake yesterday, presumably for this appointment, or last week. They sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chain and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let him enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus, and they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him, that is Jesus, to depart from them, for they were seized with a great fear. So he, Jesus, got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father, as we have the opportunity now to come under your word, we pray that you would give us seeing eyes, hearing ears, and an understanding heart. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would meet us just in the places where we need to be met today and do that transformative work that only you can do in our hearts and our souls. And may it resound to your honor and glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I was in India traveling from Delhi to Agra. I had no idea exactly where I was, and my driver spoke no English. And as we arrived, all of a sudden my car was surrounded by people who were beating on the windows and beating on the top of the car and kind of rocking it. And so there I was and surrounded, and all of a sudden somebody jumps in the back seat of the car with me, and I have no idea what's going on, and I have this, you know, that sense that you get of, wow, what's going on here? I'm across the world, nobody knows where I am, and this is it. Well, it only lasted for a short period of time because I found out I was visiting the Taj Mahal, and all of the people who were around the car were simply vendors who were trying to get business, and the person that who jumped in the back of my car was actually my tour guide that I was supposed to meet. So it did all work out okay, but you know what that's like when you have that awful, terrifying feeling, that helpless feeling that things are happening that are beyond your control, right? We see that in this story. And this is a different story, but in one way or another, we can relate to this story. It may be something as simple as a 15-year-old girl who gets dumped by her boyfriend, but she feels like life is out of control. Or it may be a 50-year-old man whose plant is closing, and he wonders, now what? My life's out of control. Or maybe a medical diagnosis, or a mental illness, or something like that that just changes everything. Or maybe someone who is enslaved to an addiction, whether it be drugs or alcohol or sex or materialism, whatever. But whatever it is, big or small, and probably not as dramatic as this story, whatever it is, that awful, terrifying feeling that things are happening that are beyond my control. The story speaks to us. But this story certainly does not leave us trapped, does not leave us spinning out of control, because Jesus has come. And that's the message of Luke that we've seen again and again. So this morning, turn to Luke 8, verse 26. Now, in this section of the book, Luke gives us four stories. And all of the stories are stories about struggles of living in a fallen world. All of these are stories about being in situations that are beyond human control. First of all, we saw this last week, a sudden storm. We are going to perish. Today, a demon possession. It's out of control. The next two stories are a sick woman, and she said that she could not be healed by anyone. And then Jairus and the death of his daughter, and when she's dead, dead is dead, and what do you do then? All of those things are beyond our ability to control, and when that happens, we go, well, now what? Where am I? And yet Jesus enters, and he changes everything. Our story today is about a power that is beyond this world, a power that is working against us. It's the story of the demon-possessed man. And it's interesting that we call it that, isn't it? But we'll call it this morning the story of a man with no demons. Because it's that, right? The story of a man with no demons. So turn to your sermon notes. We have 4 points. We're going to look at this story in 4 scenes. So point number one, the scene Jesus entered. The scene Jesus entered. Now, it's important for us to not stand at a distance from this story. Don't stand back simply as an unattached observer, but we need to enter into the emotion of this scene. We need to feel the fear. We need to experience the chill. We need to smell the scent of terror and of death that's just kind of hanging there. There was a crazy man who was possessed by demons, and there was a town full of people who were haunted by this craziness that was going on in their town. So we need to have a sense of that. Verse 27 says, when Jesus stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. Now, as I began my study of this passage, I started off by compiling a list of words, just making a list of words to help me get the feel of the scene that Jesus entered into. But not only that, but to help us to connect with this story, because that may not be especially easy, because, I mean, probably we're not demon-possessed. So these words will help us to connect to the story, and maybe these words even fit some of our situations. So here's the words: wild, scary, spooky, possessed, overtaken, out of control, alienated, outcast, addicted, trapped, enslaved, imprisoned, tormented, terrorized, fearful, hopeless, crazy man, running around naked and screeching and bound, but yet with the power to break his chains, and being driven all over the place by demons. He was like a freak in this land, and people were scared and all of this. Now, those words that I just gave you, they don't just describe the demoniac, but some of those words may be appropriate for the people who were around him, right? May have been appropriate for his parents or for the siblings or for those who knew him or for neighbors in the community. And oftentimes that is the case, isn't it? It's not just the one that's going through it that's affected, but those who are around are affected as well in a very dramatic way. So keep that in mind as we look at this. But not only all of those things, but there was something else about this scene. It was very unclean. Religiously unclean. Now, if you were a Jew, like Jesus was, this location where they were was Gentile territory, so just being there could contaminate you. And not only that, there was the pigs. Pigs and Jews, right? Unclean to the people of Israel. So everything about this scene is wrong. It was out of control. It was unclean. It reeked of pigs and the stench of death. But Jesus entered the scene. Jesus did not say, "I am a holy God. Get me out of here. I don't want my holiness contaminated." Jesus did not say, "I am the Prince of Peace, get me out of this chaos." Jesus did not say, "I am from heaven, I need to keep my distance from these wicked demons." No, Jesus entered the scene. Verse 27, when Jesus stepped out on the boat, out of the boat, and he stepped on the land, he stepped into it. And yes, that is a metaphor. As soon as Jesus arrives, then, there is this immediate confrontation. A battle takes place between the powers of heaven and the forces of evil, and they whip out their lightsabers, and these powers go against each other and back and forth and back and forth, right? No, not at all. What happens? It's immediate surrender. There's no battle. There's no contest here. Verse 28. The demon-possessed man fell down before Jesus and cried out, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Verse 31. He begged Jesus. Actually, it was they begged Jesus now. "Don't make us go into the abyss. Don't send us to our final judgment." The Matthew account says, "Don't send us to our final judgment before." It's not the final time yet. It's not the final time. So don't do this yet. And what was the name of the demon-possessed man? It was Legion, right? So this was not a single demon. This was a legion or an army of demons. A legion, a Roman legion, consisted of 6,000 people. So it's a large number. But we know that there were at least 2,000 demons because, according to the Gospel of Mark, there were 2,000 pigs. But these were the soldiers of Satan. These were the foot soldiers. These demons were the foot soldiers carrying out the power of Satan. And yet this was not two mighty forces going against each other in which you stood back and wondered, okay, well, no, which one's going to win? It wasn't that. No contest. And the demons knew that. No contest. They correctly address Jesus as Son of the Most High God. They knew who he was. They knew his power and his authority. They knew the mission that Jesus had on earth and that his mission was to destroy the works of the devil. And so they cried out, don't send us to hell and judgment, but rather send us into those pigs instead. Give us more time. So Jesus does that, sends the demons into the pigs, and the pigs run off of the cliff. This was the original Pigs in Space, if you remember the Muppet Show. So the pigs go flying out over the cliff, down into the sea, and they drown. What a chaotic, frantic, out of control scene this is, isn't it? Scared people, screeching demons, squealing pigs, and there's Jesus. Do you think Jesus is afraid of your issues? Do you think he doesn't know about your issues? Do you think that he's going to stay at a distance because of your issues? Look at this. So point number one, the scene Jesus entered. Now, have you got the feel of this? That's the scene that Jesus entered. Point number two. Well, now let's look at the scene that Jesus left. The scene Jesus left. Now, you know when you go to a play and the scene ends and they turn the lights down and then the curtain closes, right? And behind the curtain closes, you hear all this movement. I mean, you can tell that stuff is going on there. You can tell that the scene is being changed. And the more stuff that you hear and the longer it is, the more dramatic the change is. And that's kind of what we have here. The curtain opens and we have a major scene change, right? We go from what it was to this. And now, this just before Jesus leaves, here is the scene now. Same location, but now look at verse 35. When the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. So instead of running around being driven by demons, the man is sitting calmly. Instead of being naked, he's now clothed. Instead of hanging around in the tombs, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Instead of being chained up like a crazy man, he is now in his right mind. Instead of demon possessed, he is healed. He is a man with no demons. And instead of 2,000 pigs flying over the cliff, there are 20,000 pounds of bacon floating in the water. What a dramatic change. And the bystanders that were there, those who were there, who saw all of this happen, and maybe all of this happened in a very short period of time, they're just shaking their heads going, what just happened here? What just happened here? And what all that the bystanders saw, all they saw was a crazy man, a healer, and a bunch of pigs. That's all they saw. But there was so much more happening than that, wasn't there? And that is kind of the point here. The kingdom of God arrived, and it took on the power that was behind the kingdom of this world. The king had come and was taking on the forces of evil, and there was actually spiritual warfare here. There is a satanic, demonic power that is opposed to God, and it's real. Now, we don't like to talk about that. And we kind of like to minimize that and downplay the devil and the demon stuff because it doesn't sound very scientific. And it sounds a little superstitious, and we're educated people after all, and we're not gullible people. And so we don't like this demon and devil and Satan kind of stuff. But according to the Bible, the spirit world of Satan and his demons is real. And it is powerful, and it is evil, and it is out of control, and it terrorizes, and it is fearful, and it enslaves, and it imprisons. And not only that, its trajectory is death. Just like the pigs in space flying over the cliff, the trajectory is death. That is what would have happened eventually to this demoniac, but instead it happens to the pigs. And yet this power, this very real power, is not a sovereign power. It has no ultimate authority. It is not like sitting back and watching the gods fight and wondering which one is going to win. These forces of evil have no ultimate authority, but that is not so with the power of Jesus. This story, and the three stories that surround it for that matter, show us that Jesus has the sovereign power of heaven. That Jesus has the ultimate authority over all powers. Every power that is working against us is in the control of Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. There is no force out there or inside of you that God has not overcome with his power. No force out there or in here that God can't control. So point number one, the scene Jesus entered. Point number two, the scene Jesus left. What a dramatic transformation. You can't help but see that, how radical that is. And now point number three. And for point number three, we're going to go beyond this story. So point number three is the scene that finishes the story. The purpose of Jesus, the reason that he came, was to destroy the work of God. And the trajectory of the devil and his demons is death. We see that in the dead pigs. But I want you to listen to William Lane, who comments on this story, and here's what he says. Jesus recognized that the time of the ultimate vanquishment of the demons had not yet come. His encounter and triumph over the demonic does not yet put an end to Satan's power, but it is the pledge and the symbol of that definitive triumph, but the time when that triumph will be fully realized is yet deferred. So their end, yeah, these demons, the pigs, you know, all of that, the death happened, but that's not the end. That's not the end yet in this story. But I want, for us this morning, I want to finish the story. So we kind of have, we're going to kind of finish that story with two parts. So in your notes, you could kind of do point 3A and point 3B for the two parts. So these two scenes are taking us beyond Luke 8, all right? And what I want to do is, I want to paint that scene with just Scripture. I just want to read from the Bible and help you get the picture. Okay, so this 3A, The next scene that we have after this Luke 8, the next scene is the cross. This scene is the cross of Jesus dying. So let's hear scripture. Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise took of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Get that? John 12:31, and this is in the context of Jesus' coming death, and Jesus says this, now is the judgment of this world, now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Colossians 2:15, and this is referring to the resurrection. He, Jesus, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. See that? So the death and resurrection of Jesus defeated the power and the works of the devil. So that's scene 3A. There's a final scene, scene 3B. So we looked at the cross, and now let's look at the final heavenly scene. The final heavenly scene. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. Revelation 12:10. This is John's vision of the final days. And I heard a voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brothers has been thrown down. Revelation 20:10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Do you get that? Do you get what's happening there? See, Luke 8 is the beginning, but Luke 8 is just kind of the teaser, the foretaste. It's the symbol, but it is also the guarantee of what's to come, because Jesus is the one who's supposed to come and do that. And here he is, and here's a little sample that's who he is. This is the right guy. He is the one coming, and this is what he's going to do. So that's what happens in Luke 8. And next, then, Jesus goes to the cross. He defeats and he defangs Satan's power. And then finally, in the end, Satan and his demons are ultimately and utterly banished. So what? There is no force out there or inside of you that God has not overcome with his power. Nothing can take you down if you have Jesus. I don't know what's going on in your life. There may be all kinds of chaos and out of control, terror, who knows what it is, but it will not continue forever, because if you have Jesus, you will not go down, because he's the victor. Now let's go back to Luke 8 and one more scene. So point number 4, the scene we live in. So the tormented, hopeless, demon-possessed man now sits there clothed in his right mind, sitting at Jesus' feet, right where he wants to be. And in verse 39, Jesus says to the man, leave your home and come follow me. Right? Is that what it says? No. Jesus sends him away, saying what? Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Interesting, isn't it? That sometimes, and we've seen this in Luke, right? Sometimes Jesus says, leave your home. But sometimes Jesus says, stay home. But whatever scene, there or here, whatever scene we are in, our message is still the same. declare how much God has done for you. And your scene may not be a demon in a pig scene, but if you're a Christian, God has done much for you. How much? That's your message. That's your message, how much? And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then you may have a hard time believing this. You may not be buying this story, but I just want to tell you, okay, but there's a lot of people in this room who have a story to tell you. There's a lot of us who would love to tell you our story that in some fashion is just like this. Well, here's why we all need to believe this story. Because our sin and our chaos and our terror and our enslavement is actually much worse than we think. It's actually worse than we think. The things that we see on the surface are actually worse than what we think, because all of those things are connected to Satan. And we can't do it on our own. It's beyond our control. He will overpower us. As I was thinking about this, and maybe this is a really bad illustration, but it works for me. You remember that arcade game that you go into where you get the big club with a big thing on it, and there's these little holes, and then the head comes sticking up, you know, and you have to hit whichever one comes up. You know what I'm talking about? All those little holes, right? And so you have all these little, okay. So if that's what it's like, the crisis and the out of control and the terror and the sin and all of those things just keep popping up their heads, and you keep just going boom and boom and boom, and right? That's just what's on the surface. It's worse than that. So imagine, here's the crazy part. Imagine that all of those little ugly heads that are sticking up here and there, imagine that they are all connected down underneath to this network of evil and of ugly monsters that are just like that. It's far worse than what's sticking their heads up. And they are at work against you, and they just keep coming up and just keep coming up, and you think that you can handle it, but they keep coming up and keep coming up faster and faster. And there you are, and you cannot control that, because that reservoir of evil that is beyond what you can see is far worse than what you can ever control. Except Jesus has come, and he has destroyed the source. He's destroyed that reservoir of evil. Wow. Do you believe that? Let's believe that. Let's pray. Oh Lord, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. Not death or life or angels or rulers or things present or things to come, not any other power. You have overcome them all. That's the kind of God you are. That's the kind of God we believe in. That's the God that we praise. Amen. Stand together and sing.